Hey, do you want to get your digital comics for even cheaper? Well, we are here to help. Go to comixology.com, and when you buy $15 worth of comics, you get $5 off when you use the code Infamous. That's right. Thanks to your buddies in the Infamous podcast, we're getting you $5 off every time you spend $15 at comixology.com. Just use the code Infamous. Hey, welcome back to the Infamous podcast. This is episode 137.
Seven? Yeah.
Kenny, you're the one who listens. What episode number are we on?
He don't know numbers.
I know. Anyway, hey, I'm Brian.
Call a friend from Poland.
Yeah. Hey, Polish listeners, what number are we on? Tweet us on Friday and maybe we'll remember. Anyway, I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And joining us again.
Cousin Kenny.
Cousin Kenny. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks. I'm here.
You are here.
So. I almost wasn't, so.
Really?
I almost wasn't either.
For a minute, I almost texted him and said, hey, is Kenny coming over?
Well, you should have.
I forgot to leave.
Anyway, all right, so this
week...
You've
been living in the walls the whole time?
Yeah. He's been here. He's in the closet.
We thought it was a sump pump.
Yeah, that movie scared me as a kid. People Under the Stairs.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
My parents didn't love
it's a Wes Craven movie. It should scare you.
I legitimately...
Your parents didn't love
We had like a room under the steps, and I legitimately...
Like Harry Potter?
Kind of, but this was like in the basement. It was an unfinished basement. Oh. And you could like pop the step off and climb back in this little dirt wall.
Your house like 100-something years old,
yeah,
too?
It was. Yeah. And like my parents
have that underneath
their
steps,
they would throw
too.
Trash down the steps, like miss the trash can. And so like 4 or 5 times a year, I would have to go down and climb under the steps.
And clean it out.
To clean up the trash because I was the only one that wasn't fat. And well, at the time I wasn't. And I was so worried that they were going to lock me under the stairs like in that movie. I was terrified.
That's awesome.
So there you go.
All right. Okay, so this week we are talking 2018 Oscars, which Johnny is going to play the role of what did you guys think? And then we're going to talk a little bit about Blade
Johnny's
Runner.
Johnny's the man on the street.
We're going to talk a little bit about Blade Runner 2049 because Kenny was here last week and he so graciously gave me the digital code to watch it.
And it'll come up in Oscar talk.
And we're going to talk then about the first season of Altered Carbon. And Johnny's got lots of paper. All right. Oscar talk. So, did you watch the Oscars?
No, we were driving back from Classic Plastics.
And you didn't watch. You never watched the Oscars, do you?
Yawn.
So, all right. I did not.
Like I said, and it was half joking, it is a corporate television show on a corporate television channel.
Yeah.
That everybody just kisses each other's asses, but they all hate each other.
This oh, absolutely.
This is the first in like 4 or 5 years, though, that I haven't watched, mostly because... I am interested in the nominees more often than not.
So. Right. I think...
And even though I don't watch it, I'd say Gary Oldman, finally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's honestly been since the kid came along that I haven't really watched the Oscars. I mean, we used to go to an Oscar party every year, but at the same time...
They have
movies,
those?
Yeah, people do that.
Let me reflect on William Shatner, Saturday Night Live, 1986's Get a Life.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, is if you look at the last 10 years of Oscar nominees, for especially for Best Picture, like they stopped having movies like Gladiator up for Best Picture and movies that did well in the box office and were well-received by fans and were also good movies.
Yeah.
And I think what this...
It's the internet's fault.
Yeah.
I mean, but then to be fair, though, I mean, legitimately 10 years ago, Dark Knight was nominated for an Oscar.
Absolutely. But Dark Knight was one of the 10 best movies that year. And I have my issues with Dark Knight, but I can recognize that.
That was a mercy. That was a mercy pass. Right
no, that
there.
Was the Heath Ledger getting the
yeah,
Oscar.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's a mercy pass.
But I still contend of all 9 of the best picture nominees, none of them get nominated in a year with stronger movies.
No, that's what in previous years, there's been like. Because I try to watch every one,
right.
every nominated movie in like the top 6 or 7 categories, and like, man, almost all of them are forgettable, and I would take just about any other years, you know, since the year that Crash won, I would take almost any other year's nominees over this.
Why do you watch them all? Is there a reason?
All right, so quick anecdote: when I worked at Kroger when I was about 17 years, whatever year The Departed came out.
2008. Yeah.
All right, so The Departed was getting Oscar love, right? And a buddy of mine had it, and he was like, he was raving about it. He could not shut up about The Departed. And I was like, man, I don't know. I don't really watch Oscar movies because they're usually hoity-toity, they're usually boring, and, you know, they're crap movies.
Right.
And my buddy was like, here's a copy of The Departed. If you don't like it, take it home, watch it tonight. If you don't like it, I'll give you $20 tomorrow.
Okay.
I watched Departed twice that night.
And then you went and told him you didn't like it, right?
Right. No. I was a man of honor. And I've had that with stuff like Lost, too.
Yeah.
Where, like, I was super skeptical about Lost back in the day, where I was like, oh, it's Gilligan's Island meets Survivor. Who cares? Then my friend Amy sent me a video that was Lost in 8 minutes and 15 seconds. And it summarized the first three seasons.
Right.
Now I remember that video. And I've seen the series, like, 7 times through. So... I tried to get through this thing where I wouldn't prejudge stuff, and as a result, it forces me to expose myself to new movies, new ideas, and as a result, I've come across some of my favorite movies ever. So,
such as
something like Life of Pi.
Okay,
the trailer for Life of Pi was garbage.
Yeah,
there's some kid on a boat, and there's a tiger, and there's fish flying through.
That
the
was
air
a good movie,
and it was a bad. But in the tiger for the previews for that was not fully rendered yet,
right?
Which was part of the problem. And then in the movie, that tiger is amazing.
Absolutely, it's like, you know, seamless.
But I think, like, so
you're telling me that wasn't a real tiger?
No,
actually, it is. Like
parts of it were right.
Yeah. If you go in and watch the documentary, they show you like. How they'll seamlessly transition and stuff, and it's shocking.
So the Life of Pi is like an experience, right? When you 100%. Watch it, is 100% an experience. None of these movies are an experience.
No. And there's been other movies like I really liked. Maybe I'm generic. Maybe I'm basic for saying this, but like I loved La La Land.
None of the movies on this list.
Correct. Well, no. Not on the Best Picture list.
The Best Picture list.
Yeah, that's
other
what
movies,
I'm saying.
There are other movies nominated on here.
Well, sure. Yeah, actors were nominated for and that type
sure.
of stuff.
So I haven't watched La La Land yet because I'm so burnt out on Ryan Gosling.
Sure.
He's just like kind of everywhere. And I have a hard time separating him from that dorky kid he played in Remember the Titans to like really buy him as anything. You know, just him doing that little dance in the locker room. It's like, oh, come on, man.
It'd be like saying you can't separate Tom Cruise from Risky Business. Come on now.
Well, you can't. I mean, like, you always expect him to slide in with his socks pulled all the way up.
Every time I see Tom Cruise, I expect him to be out on a beach somewhere. Playing volleyball with Val Kilmer.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, all right. So, just best picture. It was The Shape of Water, Call Me by Your Name, The Anthony Rapp Story, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out,
Wow,
Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, which was not as good as Spotlight, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Yep. Now, I saw Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird. Of this list, and Darkest Hour has been on my want to watch list, but my wife is actually, all joking aside, a fan of Winston Churchill, so I haven't watched that one because she hasn't been around to watch it yet.
I knew she was.
So, well, she likes, you know,
it's the girthy British man.
The girthy British.
The problem is that all of these are they're fine. Like
they're all okay movies.
Nine movies nominated out of the 10 possible nominations, and movies like Mudbound.
Why wasn't Coco
and
nominated?
Game,
or
and,
did well, they Coco's avoid the animation?
It's
yeah, those
animated,
are so Mudbound.
See, that's stupid.
Was great. I think Mudbound was better than anything on this list.
I agree. And then like
was
I mean,
Mudbound a theatrical release or was it Netflix?
It did the weekend in LA and the weekend in New York. That's all you
and
need.
Still didn't get nominated?
You just no.
Because it got nominated for the category that was least deserving, which was Mary J. Blige as best supporting actress, which is like, that's a category where Les Mis, you know, Anne Hathaway blew the world away with like 6 seconds of screen time, and then Mary J. Blige is relatively forgettable in that movie, and she's nominated this year, so it's like, all right.
You know, I think there was a lot, like Get Out getting nominated, I think Get Out was a fine, okay movie.
It's very good without
try not to spoil anything.
No, but well,
I haven't seen any of the movies.
So when
here.
We did our best of, Get Out was not on my list, even though I'd seen it.
Right.
Because I had a rule. If I fell asleep watching it, it is not one of the 10 best movies of the year.
Right. So
and I fell asleep 3 times watching it. And it wasn't like I was watching it at 2 a.m. I was watching it like 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
Wow.
And it was like, oh, God, this is boring.
So before we started recording, I asked Kenny, what 3 movies of the 9, what do you recommend? What was it that you said?
I said Dunkirk, refer to last week, Darkest Hour, and then a coin flip between Get Out and Three Billboards. I liked Three Billboards more than Get Out, but I also understand that people are enamored with Get Out, and so it might be a better watch.
So Three Billboards is based on a real event, right?
No.
Okay.
It's an original screenplay.
It's fictional. Okay.
Yeah, original screenplay.
But two of them are based off real events, right? Dunkirk and Darkest Hour.
Correct. They're actually, ironically, the same event, basically.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
They're
just from World War II.
It's all
Dunkirk
from a different point of view.
But, I mean, that aside.
So, literally, you could watch those two, like, in one day and see the whole
movie. Well, I said we need a supercut of the two of them.
Yeah.
I bet it would be great.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean.
And I would probably watch, I mean, Dunkirk, even though it's. Who it is directing it, because sometimes he's good and sometimes he's not.
But see, so like, but this is the problem with this year in general, which is the idea of like, I should not be lukewarm on a third choice.
Yeah, like you should be like, these three, boom, boom, boom.
I would tell you that right now, if we pulled up the lists of previous years, I would be able to pull out three great movies out of every Best Picture.
2017. Pull it up.
Absolutely. Pull it up.
Okay, last year, we got Moonlight for sure. Or not Moonlight. Well, Moonlight was good.
You had Moonlight, you had La La Land, and you had,
La La Land? Did you like La La Land?
I loved La La Land last year. The sound, I still listen
see,
to
I haven't watched it just because I'm like, you hear good things, you hear bad
Pops.
Things about it.
Like, it's
really? Okay.
Yeah, it's
Pops?
They made a two-pack of Sebastian and what's her name from La La Land?
Emma Stone?
Yeah, Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling.
Emma put her foot in it, Stone?
But like, you know.
No, that was the thing I seen. That was the one thing like I seen I read about Oscars.
The Manchester by the Sea. That was the.
But Manchester's not going to be on the.
But I'm saying that was like the big
one.
Did you like that one?
It was okay.
I didn't like it.
It was. Like,
I watched
it was,
that one.
It was similar in a lot of ways to Phantom Thread and to Lady Bird.
Really?
Like this year.
Okay.
In the Post.
Then
not
I,
the
I
Post,
probably
guess,
I don't have to watch those two then.
Yeah, it's closer to Phantom Thread, where it's like it's kind of a downer, and it's slow, and it's quiet.
The only reason The Post got nominated is because it was Meryl Streep,
Tom Hanks,
and Steven Spielberg.
So you got 2017's
so
list.
Because this movie is nowhere near as good as Spotlight was, where it's the newspaper behind the scenes, doing the story nobody wants you to do,
right.
Sort of thing. Where we have Mark Ruffalo being... full Ruffalo, which was great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he cry?
Oh, yeah. He cries.
Yeah.
He yells. He overacts.
Okay.
It's so right, amazing.
Cool.
I love
well,
it.
They talk about, they take a journalist doing something relatively important,
mm-hmm.
relatively risky in a community, and they do it in a way that's tense and moving. And,
okay.
like, I cried at the end of that movie.
All right.
Whereas all I did in The Post is roll my eyes repeatedly because it's so gross. And then let's not pretend either, by the way. Like, The Post... It talks about the Washington Post
right.
role in that. The New York Times took the much bigger risk.
Yeah.
They were the ones that were in trouble with the government.
Yeah.
But I digress.
And then with Spotlight, which won Best Picture,
right?
It was the Boston Globe. It was the whole thing. It was 217 priests that in a hugely Catholic community
right.
where, you know, the church didn't want this to get out. A lot of the communities didn't want it to
sure.
get out.
I mean, it's Boston.
Yeah.
And then I think the real thing for Spotlight that got me was Rachel McAdams' performance in that is probably her best to date.
Really?
Outside of Mean Girls.
You're right.
What about The Notebook?
Speaking of Gosling.
So you guys heard my eye roll there, right?
back to 2017. Like,
yeah.
That was shouted out. And I would tell you that right now that better than anything nominated this year would be Moonlight, Arrival, Hacksaw Ridge, La
really?
La Land.
Ooh, is Hidden Figures on that list?
Hidden Figures?
Yeah.
I have problems
like,
with figures.
But it's
like
a good movie.
It's fun, but it's super fluff. It's very...
It's loosely
it's,
based.
It's the Disney version of that story where
right.
like, no one smokes in that movie, even though all they did was smoke
right.
back then. They changed the story to play on your heartstrings.
Well,
like,
sure.
All that's... Like, half of those stories did not happen. Like,
yeah, but Kevin Costner.
But, like, they even... overplayed the struggles that those women went through
right.
because they did not go through those struggles
not
like the way that they were portrayed in the film.
Oh, the one that I wanted to win last year was Hell or High Water.
Yeah, Hell or High Water.
Which Hell or High Water was my favorite movie of 2017.
It was great.
So
I bought it, but I haven't watched it yet.
It's so good.
You know, so anyways.
Ben Foster.
Super weak year.
So, it was a weak year. And I think that's why The Shape of Water won.
Yes.
I think there was... I think Dunkirk and Darkest Hour split the vote.
Sure.
For the World War II fans of the Oscar voters.
Oh, okay.
You know, like Hacksaw Ridge.
I don't think it's had any chance of actually winning.
I think if Darkest Hour comes out in 2018 and not 2017, Dunkirk is a real threat to The Shape of Water.
I would hope so.
Now,
the Ape Sapien movie.
I did not like Dunkirk. I'm really pissed that it got all of the audio and editing awards that Baby Driver deserved, because the whole audio, the audio track of Dunkirk is just just constantly.
I was puckered that entire movie because of the audio.
See, and I was rolling my eyes that entire movie.
It had me on the edge of my seat.
See, this is the beauty of this, because
constant build.
Yeah. See, Kimmy and I love each other, and we can have this conversation, and he knows, he's not judging me for not liking it, and I'm not judging him for liking it.
Be judging him.
Anyway. I did watch Lady Bird. I watched that last night, and...
Fine.
It's okay. It's
cute, I guess.
It's like Juno.
Yeah.
It's very much in the vein of Juno without her getting pregnant. Sure. Thankfully, without Michael Cera. You know, the only two roles Michael Cera should ever play anymore are George Michael Bluth or Scott Pilgrim. But
I really like Saoirse Ronan. Like, she was in Loving Vincent. She's this year, too. She's great in a lot of things, but it was just like, okay. Like, I walked out of that movie. I don't remember really any of the characters outside of the gay thing. I don't really remember much that happens in the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
and then Call Me By Your Name is, you want to talk about, like, a hypocritical Hollywood. This is the Me Too for... this, I mean, like, I made a joke, it's the Anthony Rapp story, but, like, it kind of is. Like, you know, all these people are getting called out for things, and not to get super political, but...
That movie makes me furious.
It's like, are you kidding me? Like, in this year, and the fact that it won the best original screenplay is...
It was adapted,
thank you.
Yeah, because it had, it was adapted off that guy's real life, apparently.
Yeah, okay,
my argument was that Molly's Game deserved adapted, because Molly's Game was a much better movie.
Yes.
And it's a really good story.
It's a cool story, and Jessica Chastain is awesome in it. And all right, so moving on to actress, Frances McDormand. Now, like I said, I didn't see...
That's who I predicted and preferred. Again, Three everyone Billboards. Else is weak. She was the only one that I really remember. Margot Robbie's good, but
she did
not
a good job, but...
Well, Frances McDormand's like a really good actress.
Yeah, she's an amazing actress, But when you... Fargo.
I mean, everything... Yeah. Like, even the Transformers movie she's in, she's a pretty solid actor.
She's in Transformers
movie, she's in Dark Side of the Moon. Or Dark of the Moon, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
She plays the government person.
You know what my favorite...
John Turturro kisses her at the end of that movie.
I have forgotten like 60% of these Transformers.
Yes. My favorite role of hers, though, was Almost Famous as the mom.
Oh, yeah.
She's so good in that. Yeah. All right, then you have the actor where Gary Oldman won for Darkest Hour. Which, I mean, I've said it on the show before, but everyone talks about how Daniel Day-Lewis is the greatest actor of this generation, or ever, maybe, for movies. And I... always contest that Gary Oldman is a better actor
ever?
Than him. That's what people have said. He's the greatest actor ever.
Good, but
he's very good, but he's only good at certain kinds of roles. Whereas Gary Oldman is a freaking chameleon.
I could say he would be in my probably top 15 good actors, but he's not like the top.
Daniel Day-Lewis goes in the same bucket that I and hate me if you want that I put people like Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks in. Where it's
they're
like,
good, but they're not
very
like
good,
oh god,
quite often. But this idea that they can do no wrong and that everything they do is great is.
I'm sorry, but I remember Tom Hanks when he was cross dressing in a show called Bosom Buddies,
right?
Which was great.
Have you seen a movie called Byzantium?
No,
it's got Saoirse Ronan in it.
No,
you should watch that.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yeah. It's her and Gemma Arterton.
Oh, I like her, too.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
I'm not going to tell you anything about it,
That's how I go into most of these movies.
I read the description of it, and I was like, this sounds interesting. And then I watched it. I'm like, well, this is pretty good. It's not, like, great or anything, but it was one of those ones where you're like, for the description, I'm like, okay, this might be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, now, when it comes to this category, though, the whole Timothy Chalamet.
Chalamet. He was great as a child, as a child who's getting statutory raped by a grown man for 2 hours.
Daniel, how do you pronounce his last name?
Kaluuya.
And Denzel Washington. I feel like the three of them probably should not have been nominated for Best Actor.
Well, I mean, all these categories kind of go back to, like, there's only so much, only so many choices out there.
There's like, it just feels like there's a lot of legacy nominations that went on this year.
I mean, Denzel got nominated for that because he's Denzel.
Right.
Because if you want to talk about, like, where is my boy Idris Elba for Molly's Game?
Right.
Like, his speech is in that movie. Granted, that's the Roman J. Esquire is the one movie I didn't see out of the big categories. But, like, come on.
No, you're absolutely, you're 100% right. All right, so then director, we had Guillermo del Toro win for Shape of Water, and this is his second Oscar
did
or first?
Did he win for Pan's Labyrinth? I don't think he did.
I don't remember, but...
I think it's his first.
Okay, so we had him, we had Dunkirk, we had Jordan Peele, we had Greta Gerwig, and then Paul Thomas Anderson.
This was probably the most diverse category.
As far as range,
as
yeah.
Far
I
as
mean,
well,
range
but
of...
the last four of the last five best directors have been Mexican.
Okay.
So, which
but,
is,
I mean,
is
just,
awesome. You
just
know,
a
but...
diverse because, you know, it's a Hispanic, a Brit.
So I pull out,
right. Yeah.
For,
yeah.
For best director, in my opinion, I pull out Get Out and I replace James Mangold for Logan. Because
he had this thing.
There's
I loved
you
Logan.
Listen,
there's
you
not
listen.
There is not a category on this.
Not even Patrick
this,
Stewart for
on
best
this
supporting
ballot. Oh. That movie deserves to be in the conversation.
Okay.
For. And that's on a weak year, by the way.
Oh,
like
oh, I disagree.
I'm gonna.
I
will get.
I would
have
done Patrick
Logan.
Stewart as best supporting, but that's the only thing.
I mean,
think from...
I guess I could be convinced just because of how weak the supporting act. Well, no, you know what. I mean, fine. I guess you could have replaced Christopher Plummer out of that with him, I guess, if you had to.
Just because
but,
Christopher Plummer was, like, just plugged
well,
into a
that
role
that
really
that
fast.
Nomination should have just been called Not Kevin Spacey.
Right, exactly.
You know, because that's why he won the Golden Globe.
Yeah. He just played an old guy. Like, he didn't do anything special.
No. But he did it in 2 weeks, you know.
Not to jump too far ahead, but I'm shocked that Sam
they
Rockwell...
They do stage plays in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that Sam Rockwell won that category.
And from what I understand, Woody Harrelson was the better...
I preferred Woody
yeah.
in that movie. Rockwell's character is, like, pretty openly racist throughout the movie.
Okay.
So I'm surprised that 2018 allowed him to win.
It's the movie of sex with young boys and racist characters.
I guess. Yeah. I just realized that these sheets are double-sided.
Yeah.
I have a joke.
And then we have... Yeah, I know. We're not going to go through everything.
Oh, yeah,
don't worry.
Fine.
So then we have... We had the song.
We try to keep it under an hour.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Which the only reason I want to talk about the song is because we had Robert Lopez become a double EGOT.
Yep.
Which is
what
the first
is
one ever. He's won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
Nice.
Multiple
twice.
Times. So...
Oh, well, like, congrats.
Which yeah. is awesome. And he's the first person to do that. He's the guy who wrote Let It Go.
I'm glad that it didn't win. I got real beef with Mighty River being on this list.
Yeah.
You can't be original song if your song only plays in the credits.
Is that
sorry.
True?
No, but it should be.
Yeah.
Okay.
That should be. I agree with that.
Like, why are you getting nominated for some song that's in the credits? Like,
Now, I really liked this song, even though I didn't see Coco. I listened to the soundtrack.
I like Coco a lot.
And Coco is definitely one we're going to watch because we all wanted to watch it. We just never made it to the theater. I did really like the This Is Me from The Greatest Showman.
Coco is like backwards up for me. Where it was like...
You cried at the end
whatever,
and at the beginning?
But then at the end, I cried.
When you watch Up, you just start crying at the beginning. Okay.
You guys cry in these movies. I don't think I cry.
Blade Runner deserves its cinematography.
I'll give you that. I agree with that. I think having seen it, it's beautifully shot.
Yeah,
it absolutely is. Original screenplay, Get Out. I loved The Big Sick.
I honestly assumed that was going to win,
and it seemed like that was the way it was going.
What was
but
The Big Sick,
that's the
Camille Nanjiani,
the cancer.
Oh, okay,
comedian,
yeah. You told
which
me about that.
Someone wrote that this was a rom com.
For Big Sick?
Yeah. And
I mean, it's supposed to be like a dark rom-com, like a dramedy.
It's a very dark, like,
a drama rom-com?
So. Yeah.
But
it's supposed to
drama
be like
com,
a, I mean, in the same way that like, I can't come up with a good example, but, like, something like 500 Days of Summer or something where it's, like...
50-50.
Yeah.
So, if we're going JGL.
Yeah.
I didn't... Jordan, you know... I love Jordan Peele's effort that he put into Get Out.
It's a good story.
It's a good story. Like, I don't know. Do you listen to Bill Simmons' podcast at all? Like, he's been, like, loving this movie. And the Ringer has a one called The Rewatchables now. And they did a Get Out Rewatchables already. And it's like, let's back away from this for a second. Because I'll be honest, this movie is a lot like reading a Scott Snyder Batman story. Where you close that last page or, you know, you hit the end of the credits and you're like, what did I just watch?
Sure.
Like, you know, you just kind of forget it. Like, I didn't think anything actually stood out.
It was cool, but it was just a little too cute and people were a little too up their own ass about
it's just
it, where I'm like...
It's a black version of the Stepford Wives.
Yeah, I'm like, it's fine. So, it's good.
Honestly, like you, it should be under the adapted screenplay because it was adapted from the Stepford Wives.
Right.
So, anyway. Then you have adapted screenplay, which Call Me By Your Name by James Ivory won. I think Molly's Game should have won that.
Molly's or Mudbound.
Your Logan right there.
Yeah, but like, what was it adapted from, really? That was a, that, yeah, that was.
Multiple things.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have.
I'm not a Wolverine fan, and I could have pointed out the different stuff that was used in that.
So Kobe won for the Dear Basketball for the animated short, which is based on the letter he wrote for his retirement, which was really cool. And I watched that, and I'm a big Kobe fan. So, what?
Just clapping for Kobe.
Yeah.
So visual effects was Blade Runner.
Yes, it was.
I would have
hashtag.
I would have pulled Blade. Like, I wouldn't pull Blade Runner out of that category, but I would have given that to War for the Planet of the Apes.
If you were going to nudge it out, I would have maybe gone Guardians. But Blade Runner, man, that sex scene.
I get it. In Blade Runner, it's a very pretty movie.
The effects there are mind-blowing.
But War for the Planet of the Apes has almost all composite CG with these gorillas who are mocap with fur that looks real. And I mean, it just
how did they decide?
The spectacle, I don't know. I think
a lot of times, to be frank, a lot of these turn out to be... it's campaigning. Yeah. It's what movies you've seen most recently.
Oh, so it's,
what
it's,
movies?
Well,
seen.
But there's also smear campaigns that go on behind the scenes.
There's the money
so.
Being passed in back rooms with a lot of smoke. You know,
yeah, a lot of times they'll vote in categories they didn't see, which is why something like animated feature, like you could make the argument that Loving Vincent might be a better movie than Coco, but no one saw Loving Vincent. Everyone saw Coco.
Never even heard
right.
of it.
Right.
Loving Vincent was a movie about Vincent Van Gogh.
I was going to say it's about Van Gogh
investigating
isn't it?
His murder. And they hand painted in the style of Van Gogh.
Oh, nice.
The entire movie.
Yeah. Okay. I would watch that. Then.
And that has Saoirse Ronan
yeah,
in it as
in
well.
It. It's got the dude from, it's got a couple of Game of Thrones guys in it. It is gorgeous.
What movie nowadays doesn't have a couple Game of Thrones guys?
Yeah, this
guys
has,
in it?
It's either, I can't remember if it's the Onion Knight or if it's the drunk guy that hangs out with Tyrion.
Oh, okay. Bronn.
Yeah, that's the one. I think it might be him.
The one who's on Ripper.
It is.
Ripper
I think
Street.
It is him. You're right. Okay, so then we have supporting actress with Allison Janney.
That's correct.
Is 100% correct.
That's the best in that category.
And then the last one for supporting actor is Sam Rockwell. I was kind of surprised William Dafoe didn't win for the Florida Project.
I wanted Willem or Woody. Florida Project was very good and very underrated. Also, shout out, all the documentaries are available streaming right now.
Yeah.
Icarus is very good. I had Sarah watch Icarus, and she kind of like...
It just went up on Netflix.
She was like, that escalated very quickly. Like,
yeah.
And it is great. Like, I'm not going to say much. Icarus is a documentary about a guy doing an experiment on himself in his bicycle race with steroids, and things go... very out of hand, and it's worth watching.
Cool. So. All right. The last thing is, can we please stop Jimmy Kimmel being a thing?
I liked him last year, but I was worried.
A corporate show on a corporate channel where the host is on that same corporate channel.
But he was
not saying I don't love Disney, but it's all corporation
but
stuff.
I can't think of anyone who I look at less genuine.
Why don't
than
we
Jimmy
just
Kimmel?
Why don't we start our own version of the Oscars?
Are they called the Infamies?
I like it.
Dun, dun, dun. Great. Now we have to change the everything for our end of the year instead of certified infamous. It's now the infamies. So
I ripped that off the Dundies from The Office.
Yeah, I know.
I like that. I like it. But, I like it.
All right. So moving on. Let's
so
talk.
do we have to pick how many movies we see in a month and then pick the favorite of the month and then break it down to 12 movies?
Ooh, I like that. We have to pick the best movie that comes out each month.
That would be an interesting challenge.
And then we have to pick the best movie of
the
year
of
those
12.
Damn.
That would be pretty interesting.
Damn.
And so, but then we can't do it until
I hope this
January.
Contract passes.
Man, imagine if the Oscars did that. It would force companies to spread their movies out throughout the year.
Yeah. Instead of
pushing them all out.
Did I see anything in January?
Yeah, but so here's the thing, though. Is the Post didn't come out until 2018 wide. This is what bothers me, right? Is it should have to come out wide release in the year.
Right.
The other thing is, again, nobody saw any of these movies.
Yeah, very few. Johnny's the perfect example of this.
And Johnny likes movies.
Yeah, Johnny likes movies. He's relatively plugged in. And like,
In all honesty, of the ones that were nominated, there was three that I was interested in.
And, like, Aaron loves Hellboy.
Yeah.
And loves Guillermo del Toro and has not seen Shape of Water yet.
I can tell you that I had no interest in that. I had no interest in The Shape of Water. I was interested in Darkest Hour.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like Gary Oldman.
Sure.
I was interested in Dunkirk just because of the...
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was interested in Get Out because it's a horror movie.
Yeah.
More than because it was nominated. I was interested in that before it was nominated.
Sure.
And I still didn't watch it, and it's been on HBO's app for months.
Months. And it's not going anywhere.
Plus, I got it on Black Friday, and it's been sitting there.
You know, when I talked about the movies on Facebook, I really tried to push.
Did you see any movies in January?
Watched them because of me.
I'm trying to remember if I've seen any.
In the theater?
Yeah. I don't think I've seen any.
I did.
So,
yeah.
So, are we going to...
No, I didn't see a movie.
We're going to do it. Let's do it. Let's do The Infamies.
Okay.
But...
You have to come back for
Here's the rules. Okay. And you can be an honest.
What I watch.
Yeah. Here's the rules. It has to be released in the year.
Right.
So... It can be on Netflix.
Right.
It can be an original on any of the streaming networks.
Okay.
Or it can be a theatrical release.
Okay.
But it has to be, it was released between January 1st and December 15th.
No, we got to do December 31st.
You
want to
do it all,
because,
so we're going to be doing this next January.
Yeah, we'll do it in January.
That's
because
smart, though. Most places do like the first two or three weeks
but
of January.
Because Star Wars doesn't come out until like the 18th, so, you know. But not that Solo is going to be.
I was going to say,
anyway, all right.
So if it's a streaming, though, it has to be released like in that month.
Right.
So it was on in January.
Right.
If it came on in January, it could be a January movie.
Right.
I can watch it in February and still make it
a January movie. It's March now, so we're going to have to
Let's do this.
I like it.
Okay.
All right. Sweet.
Kenny's already made his list for January and February.
All right, let's talk about Blade Runner real quick. And I don't want to talk about it because I want to get
more
rule.
One more rule.
Sorry.
One more rule. You can pick, you got to pick a movie for the month.
Right.
You can only watch six movies.
Let's just
pick a number.
We can each nominate four movies per month.
Right.
And then we'll narrow it down to one.
Right.
Maybe between you and I, or if you want to be involved in the selection process.
There's a lot of rules.
So you pick, your favorite movie of the month.
Yeah.
But let's watch a certain, let's not have to watch like 1,000 movies.
Oh, that.
Let's watch like six movies. They don't have to be the same movies, obviously, because we all have different tastes in that.
We have good taste.
I would say that I don't have that great a taste because I'll watch anything.
But.
Okay.
And I have watched.
I don't watch the amount of independent movies that I used to watch.
Sure.
Only because I don't go to the Esquire in Cincinnati to see movies anymore.
And but nobody else does.
We have this technology now that delivers
shocker,
them
right?
Straight to
I know. But it was just like I used to like going down there and going to movies.
The only like
I
movie
the Neon in Dayton. So.
The only movie I can remember seeing at Esquire maybe two movies. I don't remember the second one.
So.
Blair Witch Project,
which I've still never seen.
You've never seen the Blair Witch Project?
So when it came out...
You're not missing anything.
Okay, so
I was in college
when it came out, right? And I went to go see it. It was sold out like 4 weekends in a row. And I was like, forget it. I don't even care.
My sister threatened to murder Heather while we were sitting there watching the movie.
Holy cow.
And I was like, huh, okay.
I can see Jamie threatening to murder someone.
Well, she screams a lot throughout the movie. And my sister was like, I would give anything to go in that movie and shut her up.
Awesome.
And I knew what she meant.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Best movie of 2017, real quick.
All right. So Baby Driver is the story of a kid who drives a car for Kevin Spacey.
For a child molester.
Hoping not to be
for the Planet of the Apes.
So anyway. All right. So here's where Blade Runner.
Star Wars Last Jedi.
Here's where Blade Runner 2049. Here's where Blade Runner 2049 lost.
Can we agree that it wasn't a bad movie? Star Wars The Last Jedi was not a bad movie.
I'll agree with that.
But it wasn't a good movie either.
I would say that it is a decent movie and it is a bad Star Wars movie.
Bad Star Wars movie? There you go.
I think, especially after watching what happened in the second...
I still think Attack of the Clones is...
Attack of the Clones is the worst. I like The Last Jedi. I don't like this version of Star Wars.
So, what happened with the last...
I want to see JJ's script.
I do want to see that. What happened with this last half of Rebels has really... made me think that Dave Filoni and Pablo Hidalgo should just be in charge of all script writing.
Yeah.
Or they should at least be given something to play with.
Because
do you think, here's where my hope
as much
is,
as I defended The Last Jedi, Rian Johnson should never have been allowed to go off on his own. Like,
my hope is that Benioff and Weiss actually work with Hidalgo and Filoni and come up with something like epic.
Yeah.
Because I feel like those four could come up with something
that would be pretty
sweet.
That would
blow anything else out of the water.
And they'll, and you know, Filoni and...
And JJ can direct one of them. Yeah. That's fine.
And Dave and Pablo will be able to, you know, get them everything that they need.
Well, sure.
Before they even start filming.
Right.
So it's not going to be like they're going to come to the third movie, or it's time to make the third movie. Like, but all right,
we'll
what do we do
an
now?
Animated series instead that'll be better than most of the movies that have been produced.
So
from most companies. Jedi and
no,
Force Awakens, right?
That's what the rumor is.
Yeah, it's gonna be the Search for Ezra Bridger. It's gonna be Sabine and
it's
Ahsoka.
Two Star Trek.
It's gonna. I think it will be a Sabine and Ahsoka led.
I really
Ahsoka
feel like
story.
That it's two Star Trek.
Yeah,
they're gonna steal a Millennium Falcon and.
If they won't steal the Falcon, they'll steal
it
another YT
like
class
Star
freighter.
Trek at the as good as the end of Rebels is, it did feel too much like Star Trek that we're going to go look for Ezra because he's still alive.
He's still out there.
So. Yeah.
All right. Blade Runner.
Yep.
This is where Blade Runner lost me.
Let's hear it.
Is when Ryan Gosling is fighting the beast or the animal Batista.
Yeah.
And wins. There's no way that happens.
They're robots.
There's no way
they're
that happens.
Real. They're robots.
I get that they're both robots, but there's no way that happens.
You already ruined it.
They're robots.
Is that not common? I knew that before
I
went in.
I didn't know that.
Oh.
I didn't know that Ryan Gosling was a robot.
It's in the first 5 seconds of the movie.
So you figure it out real quick.
Ruined.
Like, all right. I'm like.
Now you're going to say he's Rick Deckard's kid, too. Come on. That him and Sean Young had this robot kid. That's not real, is it?
No.
Anyway,
you're off. All right, so I on record, this is better.
Does
than
Sean
original.
Young show up?
Yes,
she does.
Not old Sean Young.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Young Sean.
That
Young.
Phrasing doesn't even make sense either. You need to like old Sean.
Not
Young.
Not aged Sean Young.
Correct.
Old Sean Young. How about that?
Einhorn is Finkel, and Finkel is Einhorn.
This is better than the original.
I'll agree with that.
And I will see anything Denis Villeneuve does.
So I really liked Arrival.
Yes.
And I like his eye. I think a lot like Zack Snyder, he's probably should be a director of photography and less running the show. But that's just me.
For this movie or for The Arrival?
In general. Like, you know, The Arrival was really good, but he also had an amazing cast that needs very little direction.
Sure.
Ryan Gosling obviously needs a lot of direction.
Not.
Harrison Ford.
Hey.
At least he didn't mail it in.
I just show up.
Well,
and I just
Harrison Ford
do whatever.
Continues his encore tour of
he's on his victory lap. Yeah.
Playing the deadbeat loser version of the beloved character.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah, let's see what happened. What happened in Crystal Skulls? What happened in Last Jedi? Yep. What happened in Blade Runner? What all three of those Harrison Ford characters have in common that we won't say?
All what I can say is if they do an Indiana Jones 5, he better lose that damn eye. If you ever watched Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
I did not.
So the old man version of Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah, I
was
forgot about that.
Eye.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn it, when does that happen?
Let's just not revisit Indiana Jones again.
No. If you want to revisit it, just go watch the first three movies and the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, and you're fine.
Yeah. So, all right.
Harrison Ford was super
And if you're
weak.
Watching Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, watch it with your kids.
I did like the soundtrack.
I listened to the soundtrack.
I like the music.
You did the soundtrack.
It's on my phone.
I love the set pieces.
Hans Zimmer again.
Ah, well, there you go. Yeah.
Aren't you glad I wrote all this down for you guys?
Yeah.
So,
is Benjamin
I was
Wallfish
surprised
like
to see.
Protege?
I was surprised when Edward James Olmos showed up in this.
I was too.
Which
Why?
Was happy? A happy surprise?
Original.
Yeah,
but
I know, but
the original. That's
I know, but I was just I wasn't expecting him
anybody who
to
didn't
show
die
up.
In the original would be you know
I wasn't expecting
suspect
him to, be
to show
in
up.
I just
and
wasn't
then,
expecting it,
but
and
it
then,
makes sense that why he's there because
absolutely.
Of the investigation that goes on.
I loved Robin Wright Penn.
Yep, she was great.
I loved her in this.
She's pretty much good in most things.
Most
did.
Things, you're
yeah.
absolutely right.
Yeah, she's killing it right now.
When
Mackenzie
you know,
Davis
as Ryan Gosling would leave and he'd say "As you wish" was awesome.
Vinny
James is in this too.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh. I loved his girlfriend. That whole like everything with that. Now, granted, I loved the movie Her. A couple
I
years
liked
ago.
Her a lot.
Her
Spike Jonze is a very talented guy.
This was a weird.
Her would have absolutely won the Oscar for Best Picture if it came out this year.
Absolutely, yeah. We could do an hour on just that.
What ifs
on movies that are better than this year, but yeah, no. The stuff with the girlfriend from the start, the technology around it, the stuff with the surrogate, like all that stuff was mind blowing to me.
Yeah. So the other part where this movie loses me is Jared Leto.
I didn't hate him.
I just don't prefer to watch movies with Jared Leto. I don't prefer to think about Jared Leto. I certainly don't enjoy listening to 30 Seconds from Mars.
I like 30 Seconds from Mars too.
But I'm so like I like Jared Leto in My So-Called Life.
Jordan Catalano.
Did you do?
I watched it live on MTV.
No,
or
did
on
you do
CBS
the
Amazon,
one movie? The AIDS movie.
Requiem for Your Dream. No, I did like him in that,
not
actually.
That one.
But
the AIDS movie.
What the hell? That's not an AIDS
Matthew
movie.
Matthew McConaughey.
The
Dallas Buyers Club.
There you go. Thank
yeah.
you very much.
When
I
you
did
said McConaughey,
one.
I knew what you were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know what McConaughey is.
Did you see that one?
No, I did not. But it's streaming, yeah.
That would win Best Picture if it was not there this year.
I like Lenny.
Is it not a good movie?
No, it would. It's great.
I like Lenny James as Mr. Cotton.
Yep.
But again, I like when Lenny James shows up and stuff. He adds a great level of just awesome to
Lenny
to
James
anything
was
that
in
he
Lost
does.
In Space movie.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
I liked the secretary chick.
Yeah.
She was cool. I liked Ryan Gosling's character. I liked the dream or the memory maker. I thought all the ideas were kind of cool. Like I loved the mystery around it, the going to the you know, going to the orphanage, like I was all
so
in.
Here's what it would have made me like this movie. Drop an hour.
How long is this movie?
2 hours and 49 minutes.
Really?
And it is a ride, man. It is
you
immersive.
Drop the ball there. There's no runtime on
it. If you do 90 minutes to 2 hours for this movie is way more than
no,
you
but
need.
This is like Arrival where the pacing sells the story. Like you have and like Dunkirk, where the length sells attention. And it sells an experience, and it is a ride. Like you are there, and you're along, and you're immersed.
Let me ask you this though: do you figure out the end before the end?
I did not.
Okay, because the Arrival, I did.
You will.
The Arrival, I figured
like
out.
He'll figure this out in the first
like
30
Ryan
minutes.
Gosling,
yes.
Like Ryan Gosling, I was sold on what I was being presented.
Yeah.
Until. There was a point where I realized it before Ryan Gosling realizes what's going on.
Yeah.
But it was not as early as it probably should have been.
I love Rain Man
here. We'll figure it out in the first 30 minutes.
Text us and let us know.
Literally please. The arrival, I was 45 minutes in and I figured it out. And
I
was
think
like,
you texted me when you figured
it
out.
Well, I said to Elva, I was like, I know what's going on. And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, can I pause it? And I paused it and I literally told her, I said, so this is what's happening. I said, and this is, you know, this person's married to this person, but we're seeing the future, but we're seeing the past. Mm. And she's like, I hate you.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it is obtainable knowing it now. Like it's definitely, you could figure it out.
Okay.
I think. But I don't know.
I enjoyed doing that.
But I rewatched it. So like the first time I watched it, I confess I was slightly altered. in the theater.
Well, that's why you
like
it.
So, like, it was definitely easier to, like, disappear into the movie that way. But then I watched it at home, unaltered, on the 82-inch, and I got just as lost in it.
You have an 82-inch TV?
Yeah, I do.
That's impressive.
Luckily, I'm always slightly altered, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm, like, it's there. I'd be curious to, you have to text me when you see it, Johnny. I'm into it.
Is it streaming yet or
no?
Okay.
So no, I
imagine it'll pop up on Amazon at some point, but
yeah,
with all their Philip K.
Something
Dick stuff
just
that they have on there.
Up on there.
Yeah.
That
I think Arrival's on it.
Valerian.
Oh, Valerian did.
Yeah.
Haley
and I are
going to
watch that.
Yes.
Pretty soon.
I think they get Power Rangers in like a week too.
I bought that digitally for the kid because she loved it when we went to the theater. Like you remember, all she talked about was the yellow Power Ranger for like months.
Sure.
It was hilarious. So, okay. I think if they cut out a solid hour of just kind of waiting and walking and, you know, slowly flying places.
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, it's very much like
this movie is not a Vine video. That you have to let some movies breathe.
Well, and I
this
get no, and trust
to,
me, I understand this, man. Like
this world
get
has
it.
To breathe.
But we already had a movie where this world got to breathe and it
and
was
terrible.
Awful.
I don't feel like it got to breathe in the first one.
It's
the first one is more about Deckard.
Yeah.
And this one doesn't sound like it's about
Well, this
Deckard.
One's about Kay.
Kind of.
This K, one sounds K like it's about much, the mystery or
it's
whatever.
Way more about the
there's
mystery.
More
in the world
there is more mystery right. to the world.
There's
the,
way more story the, in this than Blade
the
Runner.
The first one wasn't like there was no mystery to the first one.
Yeah.
The story is about finding the replicants and doing what has to be done.
I just feel like the world building went a little overboard. That's all.
In the first movie, there's a lot of enhance,
yeah.
enhance,
right.
enhance, and a lot of like. Those
but that was like the popular
stuff,
thing
like,
to do back
yeah,
then.
It doesn't make
you
it good.
Know, it was all like because of Mike Hammer and those kind of TV shows sure. where they would do that and
like,
you know the procedural.
Of, you know the test that they ran on the replicants and
oh,
stuff.
The
like
first
that.
One is a movie is a like, is a future CSI
versus
movie.
Like this like. There's a mystery and it moves along.
Sure.
It moves along yeah. pretty nicely. And like, granted, I think it helps. Like both times I watched it, I put my phone on silent and put it away. And like, I watched the movie and I don't do that very often, as we'll talk about in a few minutes.
I nodded off at one point.
Oh, that's where that's, I think you just might have narcolepsy.
You're just
no,
getting
I don't.
Old is
so
what's
well, I am getting
you.
Old, but no, but I mean, I was committed to watching this and you know, there are things that I did like and I'm not crapping all over the movie.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, I'm just not a fan of the Blade Runner franchise. That's yeah. what it boils down to.
And I'm not a major fan, but I do enjoy the original cut yeah. of Blade Runner. The director's cut's a little long, and then all the other cuts just like F up the story.
Yeah.
The original cut of Blade Runner is an enjoyable noir, like there's no mystery to it.
It's a
just,
procedural.
It's a procedural yeah. noir, which procedural wasn't a thing back then. Right. It was called a mystery, a
right,
future
right, right.
mystery. And I'm like, there was no mystery to it. It's just hunt down the replicants
it's,
and
it's
take care of business.
Blade Runner CSI. Like you could call them yeah. CSIs and their job is to find out what a replicant is or yeah. who's the replicant. But anyway, so all right. So let's
it's still
segue.
My favorite movie of last year.
What?
Yeah. It's still and, my favorite movie of
and,
last year.
And, you know, I mean, my and, favorite and, movie of 2017 was Baby Driver.
Yep.
And
it's in the conversation for sure.
I don't even know what my favorite movie was last year.
I thought you said it's Kong Skull Island.
I don't know.
Which was
Planet of the Apes, I think, more.
I like Planet of the Apes.
Did you do an
too.
Episode on that?
We did. But it changes with him.
Sure, I get it.
So.
Well, I don't, when I pick, I don't pick a top movie.
Yeah, we didn't do tops. I mean,
I
like,
pick a
I mean,
top five.
I did top just because Baby
that
Driver.
That would be a
was,
certified infamous. Right.
Yeah. Baby Driver is excellent, too. I said. I think when I posted my Oscar predictions, many, most of which were wrong, yeah. I think I said in there to watch Baby Driver, Blade Runner, Mudbound, and Molly's Game.
Yeah.
Molly. And I said, like, sit down and watch
and
those.
I want to watch Molly's Game because yeah. I think it looks cool.
They're all great. So.
Yeah.
Do you love comic books? Are you looking for a way to help out the Infamous Podcast? Then we have the thing for you. Go to infamouspodcast.com/comixology. Click on the link. Sign up for your free trial of Comixology Unlimited. And you'll help out the show. That's infamouspodcast.com/comixology.
Anyways, Altered Carbon.
Altered Carbon.
Netflix original.
Netflix original. Hasn't been picked up for a second season yet, but I imagine it will.
Why and how?
Well,
easily.
It's a book series. There are numerous books. There's way more story to tell.
Why? Because money and ratings. Yeah. And how? Because sleeves.
Yeah.
So,
because I noticed that
Joel Kinnaman is not coming back
specifically at the end. I
well,
noticed
he's doing Hannah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I could see Joel Kinnaman having a role if Ortega shows back up
as Riker.
But like, yeah, exactly. Like, as far as being the main character, though,
right.
I noticed specifically at the last like 5 minutes or whatever that they don't do any like that they don't show him
right.
Physically. So he could be Will Younley.
So you don't know
be,
who, you know,
yeah.
because of sleeves. And I thought that was interesting because, not to, you know, jump all the way to the end.
Purposeful.
But I thought it was curious, though, to be like, oh, they're leaving this open so that they can cast whoever,
yeah,
however.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the worst part of this show was the mystery. The murder mystery.
Yes.
Which
I forgot about, like, multiple times.
And because they kept dropping it.
Because
yeah.
it's the MacGuffin. The murder mystery is the MacGuffin of this
yeah.
thing. The
yes,
story is the brother and the sister.
That. Yeah.
But it,
yeah.
I mean, but like, but it kind of wasn't even that until, because yeah. when's the sister reveal?
She shows up early.
She shows up in.
And then the flashbacks
three,
start with
four?
Them as kids, like,
right.
right after that.
Well, she doesn't show up as the older version of herself until episode 4.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is where I was. After episode 4, I watched, so I watched the first 3 episodes over the span of like 6 days.
Right.
And then I watched the last 4 episodes over the span of probably 4 days.
Is there only 7 episodes?
There's 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So,
okay.
I much like the first like 4 in one day.
Yeah. And so then, much like the first season of Stranger Things, I much prefer the back end of this first season than the front end. Yeah.
We're not simpatico on much right now. This series for me is Luke Cage-esque in that like it has I thought it was ending. I didn't know how many episodes it was. I thought the show was ending. And then it was like, psych, there's like 3 or 4 more episodes.
Wow.
And then like I was like, I don't care about this part at all. And like it got a little mustache twirly and a little ridiculous and a little.
So they pulled part of the book 3 storyline into the first season,
sure,
which expanded it out because I don't think any Netflix.
So book 1 ends on the murder mystery.
Yeah, but like they don't end the murder mystery until the end of like episode 10, which, you know, happened sooner in the book.
Right, but like I guess I thought this was before, you know, that they were like, you lie.
Here's part of my problem with Netflix. Is they're pushing everything to be 10 and 13 episodes.
Which is weird.
They shouldn't do anything that's more than 8.
They shouldn't.
The Voltron model that they do where they trot out 6 episodes every 2 or 3 months is how they should handle stuff.
They should let shows decide what they need to be.
Well.
Like Punisher felt like it should have been as long as it was versus something like Luke Cage could have been reduced by 5 or 6 episodes. Like. Whatever, if the story is there, do it. But like, don't give me filler.
But like, Defenders was 6 episodes; it should have been 4.
I disagree on that one.
I would have been okay with some reduction. I don't know if 2, but it did not need to be 6. I don't think.
Luke Cage didn't need to be 10.
Luke Cage needed to be 6.
Luke Cage didn't need to be 13. Iron Fist should have been 4.
Iron Fist should have shrunk up. Like, yeah, like
you know, I love Jessica Jones, but you could have cut 2 episodes out of that one pretty easily. Get it down to 11.
But this is all the Marvel stuff.
Sure, about like Stranger Things. But to be fair, that's what
Stranger
most
Things.
Have seen.
Stranger Things does it right, man. The Duffer Brothers, they wrote. So every season is 8 episodes. Mm-hmm. Season 2 was 9, but that's because they threw that backdoor pilot in for the, you know, to see how people reacted to the other kids with powers.
I couldn't get into Stranger.
Like you could pull
the X-Men episode.
You could pull that. So that X-Men episode, you can pull that out.
Yeah,
and it does nothing to the story. Right. Yeah. Right? It was literally the backdoor pilot to see if they could do that.
No thanks.
We'll talk about that off air.
Yeah.
Because I'm more simpatico with you than you think about that because I'm not a huge Stranger Things fan. So the thing that I liked about the end of this of the second like I guess the second third
yeah
or the second third the third
the third,
third
the last third
so that was a very George Bush.
I can
what
do
I just
math.
Right there.
Sorry, so, I can do math.
The third of this series. What I really dug though was. The brother-sister stuff that they mm-hmm. did, all of the flashbacks, in getting more about Kel and what her whole agenda was. Because knowing the little bit I knew going in, her group was fighting for everyone to have 100 years, and that's it.
Right.
And I don't think they did a good enough job on the show really showing us that.
No.
It was told to us at a point where it was too late to tell us.
Because otherwise we're just sold on them as terrorists.
Yeah.
Which is like, that makes it like, it's fine if you're going to have a badass lead or whatever.
Right.
But then as you try to shift him into a sympathetic character midway through the season, it's hard. It's hard when that groundwork has never been laid.
Yeah.
Like, because otherwise I'm just like, okay, so they're just some criminals.
It kind of felt like the first half of the show is a different story than the second half of the show.
It is. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it literally, you said it's 2 books jammed into one season.
Well, it's part. It's not even like the whole third book.
But
it's just part of
it. You can see that.
Yeah.
Especially when Ray shows up and mm-hmm. is revealed to be the mustache twirling villain of the whole thing.
Versus like if the first season had just been like
the murder mystery.
A murder mystery, whatever, and then like maybe you could have even, you know, if it had been like a 5 or 6 episode thing.
Yeah.
And it had wrapped up and then like maybe you see maybe there's some reveal or whatever that like that mystery isn't what like it did not wrap up the way we thought or something. And then it's like, here can be this thing later or something. Like,
well, and then like
forcing it all
kind
together.
Of the spoiler for the way how it turned out too, that it wasn't actually a murder.
Right.
You know, in what it was.
It was, but it wasn't. Yeah. And it was,
so
there was a murder, but the thing that threw off a lot of it is the girl who jumps from the pleasure palace.
Sure.
because they didn't explain that good enough.
Sure.
Like, that was one thing. Like, well, I don't
need they did. It was just too late.
I don't need every... No, I mean, at the beginning, when she first shows up, I'm like, saying, I don't need a lot explained, but when you're going to show that and just... Why? It's like, that didn't even give me a clue as to
like
what
Johnny
was going
style,
on.
Johnny style, though, like, halfway through the first episode, I knew what was going on, and I go, like, oh, like, he killed this chick, and then he killed himself.
Right.
Right.
And, like, okay... Like, so
but
I'm
then when they show her
right.
falling into the water, I'm like, well, who's that chick then?
Right.
Because I'm like, he killed somebody, he killed himself, and his wife's involved somehow. And they, like, I knew his wife was involved, like, from the beginning. I'm like, she's
wasn't.
Like...
She was involved in the B-plot.
She was...
Of, like, the black chick. Like, she
Do you remember the old ESPN series about poker called Tilt?
No.
That's what the wife, she was on that show. That's I remember her from. She's very attractive.
Yes, she
very
is.
Very attractive.
There are a lot of attractive ladies
on
the show, for sure.
Ortega, who also is very attractive, is the Milani character from Punisher, where she serves little to no purpose in this series, other than to be the Adrian Balboa wet blanket.
Right.
And
damsel.
The damsel, and then just the, why are you here?
Right.
You know, character.
Yeah.
Although,
liked her, but she did not.
She is so
I liked
great.
Her character, but I would have liked to see more of her with her family.
I would have liked to see her do more, too.
Like, the whole thing when she brings her grandmother back for the Day of the Dead. I'm like, that's what I wanted to see, like, more of that family
dynamic.
Well,
so that's what I'm saying. Like, if you cut out all, like, so much of the sister stuff.
Yeah.
And you make it more about those core characters and their situation and, like... Let us deal, you know, let us live in that world and like versus like the weird.
So like the first season should have been let the audience get to know this world.
Sure.
And then the second season should have been Ray shows up at the end of the season.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
I agree.
Then
Absolutely.
The second season could have been, you know, him.
Because it was too in love with its own twist.
Yeah.
It was
It was like an M. Night Shyamalan
movie. Joel Kinnaman is the boyfriend of the cop.
Right.
And then...
Which I thought was a cool idea,
but
I'm like,
it is a cool
man,
idea,
it's like, where... What? At one point, I'm like, huh?
But the fact that
even
it comes...
Even I was like, what?
But the fact that it comes in episode 5, after they've been working together for 5 episodes, he saves her
and
at one point.
Nobody mentions it.
No, and nobody...
None of,
none
the
of them... Yeah.
No, nobody, so. Nothing.
Well, and I was like, you literally are like, why she got a mat on for him? It's not because he does Takeshi.
Right.
It's like, why does she have a mat on for this guy so bad? Because it's like, he's been locked up for 100 years.
And then there were some, like...
250.
There
were some, like, logical gaps in some of the sleeve stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they jumped to some... Some like they made some leaps where I'm just kind of like this whole series could have brewed for another 3 months in the writer's room.
Yeah.
And I probably would have loved it.
Now, we can all agree Poe was the best character, though, right?
I really enjoyed Poe.
The AI that ran the hotel.
Yeah. He was
Edgar,
so dope.
Edgar Allan Poe. At the Raven.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Poe training the daughter.
Like
that. And the AI was awesome. But then again, that was just kind of storyline that they just kind of lumped in there at the end.
Well, sure, yeah.
But again,
it was a way for them to have an out.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's in the original story or not, like her whole plot is just clearly building to them being able to use her as a weapon to wrap things up.
And honestly, like, if the series moves forward and they followed her as the synth in a world of sleeves, would be really interesting to me.
She would be one of the ones I could see returning. So, you know, Takeshi is going to need help finding his princess.
Right.
And it's like, I could see Vernon and her being like support for him. I don't see Ortega coming back.
I would like to see, I would be okay with her coming back just to get more of her character.
Yeah.
And because she does have, you know, she's worked through her trauma or whatever.
Right.
But they also kind of got wrapped up a little neatly where she's just, I mean, granted, I know that there was a time lapse, whatever, but it's also like, I learned to punch things and throw knives and now I'm over this horrific event in my life. And it's like,
It can't, she can't be
Riker
over
back
it. She's
got
to keep,
she gets Riker back.
But, right.
I did like, so I liked the whole thing. So I was raised Catholic. I'm no longer, you know, Catholic. I'm a free agent, so to speak. And I loved the idea that the Catholics didn't want to be brought back, that they thought you get the one life, that's all you get.
That was good world building.
And that was good. But we didn't get to see what other parts of it thought.
The cultures.
And they didn't set up the other cultures.
Not enough world building.
But they didn't need to. They didn't need to beat us over the head with world building. But it would have been nice to have like a little more setup for as you move down the line, because the world that Tok came from,
sure,
they were Chinese and Slovakian. That's had settled that world. That's why he's Takayoshi Kovacs. You know, that's where all that comes from. And it's, I would have liked to see a little more of like kind of melding of races. Like, you know, as much as I've grown to not enjoy Firefly, I think Joss actually did a great job of mixing that U.S. and Chinese culture into, you know, the
world
language
building.
And
he's good at world building.
He is.
Yeah.
Melding things together. But like you brought up,
I would have liked a little bit more with the alien.
Yeah.
Story.
Well, you brought up the Catholics, though. And like,
I think that'll be the next season. It's the off-world stuff.
Which would be great.
Yeah.
Especially if he's searching for whatever and it's lost.
Kel, yeah.
But, like, you brought up the Catholics.
Herstack.
That whole thing makes no sense when, at the end of the movie,
they pass the law.
No. They just plug in their disc and talk to him in, like, a virtual.
Right.
And they interview the people.
Sure.
And then they're like, all right, like, you get to go on, you don't. So, fine, you only get the one life. You can still plug the person into the computer and talk to them in a virtual and be right. Like, hey, who killed you? Okay, cool, thanks.
So I don't know if that was in the book or not, but I'm assuming it was.
What is the book called? Alter Carbon?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, that's like a, it's like a, it's a plot breaking device where it's like, all right, so you can't dump her into another body.
So
but
everything
like,
you just did was for nothing.
But like, you can you can interview her the way you interviewed this guy who's not allowed to be alive.
Right.
Right.
And then you know who her killer is. The end. Like, okay, like, the movie's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we don't need to bring...
On a whole, I didn't like this.
Rick Flag back.
Yeah.
On a whole, I can say I didn't like this. I liked the actors, and I thought they did well, but I didn't like the story that much at all.
Now, again, like, Joel Kinnaman, my feelings are well documented, but I found myself enjoying him.
I think
him.
That Joel Kinnaman is good for these type of roles.
He's that like, scummy kind of,
I think
like,
he's had a lot of bad choices because he's trying to break in.
Well, like, I really liked him in House of Cards.
I was going to say, I think House of Cards and this, he stands out.
I hated him in The Killing.
On shows... And on these actors, I don't think it's the actor's fault. I think it's their agent's fault.
Sure.
Because,
and a lot of times it's the
name
material
from
too.
Spartacus. Vara.
Jai Courtney.
Jai Courtney. And I think of it because Joel Kinnaman and Jai Courtney are friends.
Oh,
they're actually, they became friends after Suicide Squad. Yeah, so okay. a lot of their Instagram posts are them hanging out sometimes. And I'm like, these two guys are decent enough actors that they could be on a TV series, carry a TV series. Not carry movies, but carry a TV series. But they have bad agents because they get shit
but then
on
them.
And
sometimes
lot.
It's also they just want to get a paycheck.
Well, right.
And they're like, I'm going to go do this job for 3 months. I'm
going to You should go to Michael Madsen's website. He has a list of all the movies he did and the reason he took the job. And one of them literally says to get out of a movie to a friend's couch.
Yeah.
You know.
And I mean, early on for these guys, it's like, you know what? This is a paycheck and an acting reel.
Yeah.
And it gives me something to work with.
Jai Courtney was great on Spartacus. Yeah. Jai Courtney was very good in the first Jack Reacher movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he kind of, you know, he went big with the Die Hard thing, which I don't blame him for that, with playing John McClane Jr. or whatever.
Was definitely on the full
that was
the
just
script.
That was a Bruce Willis money grab, and they wanted a quote unquote hot young actor.
Bad movie.
And then Suicide Squad, I actually liked him a lot. He was one of the
He
I
was
liked.
One
His
of
Captain
the
Boomerang.
Better characters in it.
He
would be
I
one where
they
I
went
would,
a little,
if they did a Flash movie, I would want to see him in it.
Yeah. I think they went a little Deadpool with him, with like the stuffed animal and things like that, but
I haven't seen, and I will refuse to see.
You haven't seen
My
Suicide
goal
Squad?
Is to never see it.
Good really? For you.
Okay.
Good for you.
Hard line.
James Purefoy was wasted.
Yeah.
Because I think he is a decent
actor. They never
actor.
Gave him anything to do.
It's like, you know, he does good stuff.
He sort of sat around and twiddled his
thumbs.
But
it's like, he just like...
I was expecting like a really good...
He mumbled a lot in this movie. And I was like, man, I can understand you better when you're like doing a bad accent than I can when you're doing your accent.
I was hoping that his death scene, we would actually get like that scene where you're like, oh, he could get an Emmy for this or something. And like, it was like, nah, like, all right, there we go.
No, the whole thing...
Dyke and Lockman? Yeah. Was really good.
Yeah,
as the mustache
really
twirling
good.
Villain.
Yeah, I'm not as aggressive as Johnny as far as like I don't like. I think I'm lukewarm on it. I think that if I hadn't said
I wouldn't watch it again.
I think if I hadn't said I was going to watch it for the show, I probably would have walked away and gone back to watching something
I think
else.
when it did, I watched four episodes and I'm like, I don't have to watch the rest of this for a while.
This is
and
not.
Then he said he wanted to talk about it. I'm like, well, I have to watch the rest.
This is not like in my favorites of the Netflix pantheon. Sure. The other thing is Tamara Taylor, who was the lawyer, the black lawyer.
Yeah, I would have rather seen more with her.
She took me out of every scene because remember Bones?
Was she on Bones?
She was the show with Angel? Yeah, the show with Angel. Okay. She was on Bones for like a really long time and she kind of took
me out.
And
Zoe Deschanel's sister.
Yeah.
Who's
the less hot sister?
Sometimes more hot. It just kind of depends.
Okay, fair enough. So I haven't seen the show, so I don't know.
Zoe Deschanel got rid of the bangs.
Did she?
Yeah, I saw a picture of her recently and it's like, wow.
We were watching side tangent. Scott Pilgrim came on in the hotel.
Nice.
For Classic Plastics. And Aaron was like, I go, oh, look, there's Brie Larson. I forgot she was in this. And Aaron's like, oh, my God, is that Brie Larson?
Yeah.
And, like, and we went down her IMDb, and she's played a lot of relatively frumpy roles because, you know, you can't sex up room. But, like, she's all dolled up and rocking, and Scott Pilgrim, and he's like, wow.
Her and Brandon Routh in that, like, they're great together. Yeah. So but anyway, that's one of my favorite scenes.
But, yeah, no, so this isn't, like, this isn't going to go in even
What Tamara Taylor, what I remembered her from, Lost.
Yeah. She's on Lost as well.
So. It's probably not even going to be top 10. It's not even going to be top 10, like, Netflix conversation for me. Like, I won't revisit it. If season two comes up, I might wait till I hear what you think.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised. I'm surprised this is a Netflix show and not an Amazon show. Because this definitely feels more like the quality of stuff that Amazon puts
out. I agree.
I don't know what you think about that.
It was pretty. I don't want to discount
And that's where I was like, I felt like I wanted to know more about what was going on.
Yeah.
And that's where my dislike is.
I Blade Runner approach to this, where we got bit more hanging out in the world and a little bit more.
That's what I said. I wanted to know like more about what the alien technology was that made the sleeves that, you know, they're all sleeved and all that. And a little bit more of the revolution.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you didn't give me that. You could have kept the murder mystery thing going. Give me history.
And left out the
sister stuff more.
So the sister stuff, the flashbacks that were supposed to kind of feed into that story were muddled and confusing.
Yeah.
Because when he first got when Tok first woke up, right, and he looked in the mirror, he sees a black guy first.
Right.
And he doesn't see Will-Yun Lee.
Right.
Which was confusing.
It also was confusing to me with the mental interrogation stuff.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be your absolute self?
Right.
Why would you be Joel Kinnaman on the table getting tortured when you should be
Will-Yun Lee?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So was Will-Yun Lee only like contracted to do like the scenes that he did offset in Vancouver, wherever they were?
It made following characters and following storylines very difficult as part of the sleeve technology because
when they started showing Riker's story, I was like, "What? Wait, what?"
And then
I realized, okay, this is him.
I don't feel like they planned out well enough the how to execute.
Yeah,
so it's a good idea. It's a great idea. I mean, I think the idea of it is great.
It's very cool.
It looks beautiful. It has a really good
obviously
cast.
It's a multi book series, and it's been successful.
I'll go back to the movie The One with Jet Li and Jason Statham. One.
Now we're talking.
Amazing concept.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing cast.
Right.
Amazing movie.
Awful execution.
Amazing movie.
I love it. No, don't get me wrong. I love it. It's
so fun.
It's just my favorite.
It could be high level sci-fi, but instead, it's a cool action.
But the
movie.
Execution is not where it needs to be for what they present you.
Yeah.
You know, when you walk in, it's like, man, Delroy Lindo, Carla Gugino, Jet Li. I'm all in.
The plot deserves a little better.
Yeah.
A little better treatment, but it's good.
But that's kind of my go-to because I think that is one of the most egregious examples of just poor execution and what should have been either multi-arcing franchise or at the very least like talking about like Jet Li's that's the movie we should know him for.
The premise for that is gold.
And so with this one, it's like he should have gone around the multiverse finding other people who are consolidating their, you know, their multiverse selves. That's what that franchise should have gone out to be.
That was
absolutely.
The sequel, for sure.
So he was the new time cop.
You can totally Expendables that out where he's just going up against the ultra version of Van Damme or the ultra version of whatever. And oh, 110%.
Like all of a sudden Statham gets killed in that reality, and then like
he comes across the Statham in another one. That
The version of him from the Fast and Furious movie shows up.
110%.
You know?
110%.
And like you could cross over all these other things.
Man, if the one had come out 10 years later, that would absolutely be the
one. I think if the one comes out 10 years later, one, Jet Li is not in that role.
Well, no, there's that. That's
but
a problem.
Two, Delroy Lindo is not in that role, and they put someone who's a comedian.
Jason Statham might have actually not been a bit part in that movie and actually been
Jason Statham
a
would have been a much bigger role.
But
it's been a while since I watched that one.
I love that I've movie. Seen it. I do. I love that movie. It's
that
it's
was a golden era.
But it is definitely one that I
I think when I seen that movie, I went, man, this is a lot like Time Cop.
Yeah, that's
it is. And that's, I mean, you know,
yeah, it was like literally like,
are.
Is this Time Cop?
It's but multiverse.
It's Slider Cop.
Yeah, it's like Sliders. I mean, it absolutely is. So, but all right. So so you give Blade Runner 2049 a 10 out of 10, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd go 6. 6 out of 10.
Sure. I abstain.
So, well, right. and I don't know if you're like, you know, for I haven't given anything a 10 in a long time.
Like movie-wise?
Movie-wise.
Oh, see, I love too many movies.
And like for me, like a
like
9.
Arrival was a 10 for me.
I give Arrival an 8. You know, and for me, that's good. Like, I think, you know, based on, kind of grade point average, 7-8. Yeah. I usually skew just a tiny bit higher than you do, but
I'm also willing to give things
I'm more critical.
10.
Yeah.
There's some people that believe that, like, you can't earn a 10.
See, and I don't believe that.
And so, that a 10 has to be, like, something extremely, like, whatever. And, like, I get that. But, like, for me, like, it's a, they're perfect movies.
Like,
for
I gave Baby Driver a 10.
I probably agree with that.
But, like, I gave Black Panther a 9.
I'd agree with that, too, probably. Yeah, so, probably about a 9 on
like,
Panther.
So, for Altered Carbon, I'd go a 6.
I was
going to
say
a 6
or 7, probably. Yeah.
4.
4?
Yeah. 4.
Fair enough.
So between
it
Oscars...
It attracted me enough, but it was just not...
So, between Oscars, Blade Runner, and Altered Carbon, this is the meh episode.
Yeah, pretty much. like kind of the content that we're being served up right now is meh. Like, it has me... like so, the fact that Marvel moved Avengers Infinity War up a week kind of has me excited.
Sure.
Because it tells me... because the Russos did that.
Right.
And it tells me there's something big that happens that they want everybody to see at the same time.
Sure.
Right.
So, that gets me pumped up.
There's
the new
not
stuff
a lot of meh, though. That one that you told me to watch on Netflix with the kids, the 90s.
Oh, Everything Sucks. Have
everything
you seen
sucks.
That one?
No, I don't check that out. That was fun.
It's really good.
Yeah.
We should talk about that.
That was fun.
We're
not sponsored by Netflix. By
we aren't, but man, we love Netflix.
The world is sponsored by Netflix, man.
but anyway, I think, they're like, if you look at the Oscars, there was a lot of meh across the board. I think I don't think the right movies got nominated for the right things.
Sure.
I don't think necessarily the right actors got nominated for the right things. And at the end of the day, everyone was talking about, oh, the Oscars are old, the Oscars are old, Oscars are old. They added 700 new voters who are actors, producers, crew, critics that are all much, much younger than anything that they've had.
Sure.
And that's why we got what we got this time around. I think if this was strictly the old Oscars, Mudbound is the best picture.
Amen. And oh God, I wish. But like, so that's the problem, right? Is like, and this is gonna like sort of tie to something else real quick, which is the idea of like, this is why we have the Electoral College, because Big Bang Theory would be voted the best comedy. Or 2.5 Men would be voted the best comedy if we had a straight democracy and things like this. And so more
that's
voters,
why we can't have nice things.
More voters than the Oscars isn't necessarily
it's not a good thing.
A good thing. There is the ignorance of the masses, and there is that thing of like, all right, like most people saw Shape of Water, but because Mudbound was only on Netflix and because it was only in two cities,
right?
A lot of people didn't see Mudbound.
And then if you look at, but like you know, to your point, if you look at that right, and you look at the Golden Globes. Where it is, I think, between 70 and 100 foreign film critics who live in Los Angeles. That's the Hollywood Foreign Film Association.
Right.
Those are the only people who vote for the Golden Globes. That's why you got a very different Golden Globe than you did Oscar this year.
Yep.
Because Call Me By Your Name wasn't winning anything in the Golden Globes.
I don't care about either of them.
No, and it's fair.
But it is interesting.
Well, neither does anybody else because the ratings were down like worse than they've been.
Well, the
years.
Ratings have been going down, and right, everyone want to watch.
It sounded like they dropped.
They did. Oh, but yeah. The ratings on everything have dropped. The Olympics are down. Super Bowl was, or sorry, the big game was down. The Oscars are down.
Sued. Like, we're getting sued.
Thanks,
a lot of
Kenny.
Times people just don't want, like, they're either, they don't care about that. They've got other things going on, or they don't want the jerk fest or the guilt fest or whatever's going
to
go on.
Everybody
well,
wanted to go
DVR
watch.
DVR it now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but that
counts. But you don't the DVR the Oscars.
DVR,
well,
yeah, you jump ahead
DVR
to
DVR
the
ratings
stuff
are
that
usually
to.
Taken into account, too.
Yeah. But
everyone wanted to go watch the season finale of Divorce and Crashing on HBO. With is that still on?
I think.
It is.
Yeah, because the morning show I listened to out of L.A. was they did a they had Kirkman on as a wrap-up.
All right. Was that the finale?
I don't think so. No, because it just came back like 2 weeks ago, I think.
Finale will be in May, probably.
Series finale?
Yes, please. Series finale. Move on? Can we get some of those actors
it's
on?
It's already been picked up. It's already been picked up.
I did see the whole thing with Lauren Cohen talking about how she should get paid the same as Andrew Lincoln and Daryl. And it's like... Maggie's the main, one of the main characters.
Well, we'll
tell her agent to negotiate it then.
Well, that's what she's doing. Like that's what
they'll kill her next.
That's what Jennifer Lawrence said, right, about the that one movie that wasn't as good as the other movie. What was that where Christian Bale was fat and bald?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Oh man,
I can't think of the name of it.
The Hustle or something.
American Hustle. Yeah, that's where she was like, I got paid less than my co-stars, and it's my fault because I didn't negotiate it.
Right.
Yeah.
But nobody should have
when you're on a
movie.
TV series, you can renegotiate. You got years. But what'll happen is she'll get killed.
Okay, then she
can
go get money somewhere else.
They promised Chandler Riggs that he wasn't going to die, and they killed him.
Well, honestly,
Scott Gimple, Chandler Riggs' dad actually, put him on the spot and said... told him that he was going to, even though he wanted to go to school, you told him that he wouldn't die, that he was just going to go away for a few episodes, and now he's dead.
The best thing that can happen to Lauren Cohen is she gets to go do other things.
The best thing that could happen to Chandler Riggs is now he's not stuck on that show either.
The best thing that can happen
because he is a good actor
to not get stuck on that show. There's one of this movie podcast I listen to, the Film Vault. They always make the one guy always makes the joke.
Dude,
that
why
gets...
are you promoting another podcast on my show, man? I'm kidding.
They're this far in that means they're listening to this one. They go he always talks about how
now you tag him that way people from their show listen to our show.
That these
I did with the Star Wars one.
That these so many actors are tied up in the Marvel movies.
Right.
Where he's like, oh my god, why, or Tom Hardy, he's like, why is Tom Hardy making this stupid Venom movie for Sony when he could be making something good because he's great? And it's like...
Because I want to just make money.
Actually, I have an answer to that.
He does that voice in
Dunkirk, too. If you... Yeah.
Does he?
So, Chris...
But doesn't he wear the mask?
He wears a mask for everything.
Promise you that's Nolan trolling.
Chris Evans does Captain America so he can do a movie like Gifted with Octavia Spencer, which was amazing.
Or Snowpiercer. Yeah.
Or Snowpiercer, which was amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
or the one that he directed with
Alice Eve.
Yeah.
You know, because
he's just taking his money and putting it back into stuff.
He's reinvesting in himself, right?
I get it. There is that. But, the TV folk, is the point is using that comparison. The TV folk, you know, you're not making Friends money on Walking Dead.
No.
So you're not reinvesting that.
No, because AMC don't have money.
Right.
Well, that's why, because Kirkman sued them. So,
they used to be.
But
if their shows were better, they used to be.
And Frank Darabont, you know, went and got his piece of. He got his fat Walking Dead check.
Well, you know.
So,
but even though ratings are down, people still love it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. I stopped loving it a long time ago.
They
and stopped
love
watching
their McDonald's zombies, where it's just weak, generic, unhealthy.
Yeah.
McDonald's. It's not satisfying or nutritious.
But the Junior Mac is back at McDonald's, man.
I don't know what that means. Isn't it Shamrock Shake season?
Let me tell you this.
This one has the Shamrock
Let me tell you
this.
The when
it's got
The Walking
single
Dead brings their
Big
McRib
Mac.
Back,
oh,
then you'll want to watch it again. And right now they're
doing
not.
Unwrapping on Mike?
They're not doing, that's the thing. It's like they're not doing.
All right.
You know what? Go get a McRib. I'll eat it on the show.
Dude, heck yeah. Dude, McDonald's sponsor us and we'll just do a whole podcast of Johnny and I eating McRibs and talking about how good they are.
Telling you right now.
So, Give me two. I would tag them.
Speaking of playing,
and they
podcast,
would like me.
Yeah.
You know McDonald's has a podcast now.
I'm sure they do.
They do.
Everyone has podcasts.
I think it's called The Sauce or something, and it started about talking about the Rick and Morty sauce.
Nice.
And like now it's apparently there's a Rick and Morty
sauce. The Szechuan sauce
from Mulan.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There was a shout out on Rick and Morty where Rick was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And so this is
he like, went back in time short, and like stole a bottle of it.
So like nice. McDonald's thought they were going to be clever and join in on the hype, so they re-released the sauce a couple of weeks ago, but they did way too little of it. And
well, no, it was months ago.
Or months ago.
So they did.
They fumbled it basically. They did
just a few packets at certain stores.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even everywhere, and you had to order the their new buttermilk chicken tenders to get it.
Yeah.
So you couldn't even eat it with the McNuggets, which is the only way that's good to eat it.
They did send a big bottle of it to the creator in a suitcase or whatever. Which I think he auctioned off in Deadmau5.
Yeah, Dan Harmon. Yeah.
Deadmau5 won one. And then, but anyway, so then they brought it back like last week and no one showed up. So like now everyone can just get back.
No one cares.
You can go get you some Mulan chicken sauce if you want from your local McDonald's.
Yeah.
With your Shamrock Shake and your little Big Mac or whatever.
Yeah. It's
We've
just
now
a single
advertised
Big Mac.
Two podcasts All right. on
well,
our podcast.
On that note, let's end this. Where can they find you again?
Where are you this weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, we're actually on our way to Lexington Comic Con this weekend.
Is that? God damn it.
Yeah, we're super hyped for that. It's going to be fun. You can find us at the Roma Collectibles booth on the show floor.
Is that Friday, and Saturday, then, and Sunday?
Yeah, 3 days. Yeah, it's going to be good. You can find me at the hotel bar afterwards. And Aaron wanted me to
the one I wanted to go to.
To throw in a little plug about the Ohio 20
he's
Comic
got a,
Show. Pulling
he's got
to
pony up some dough.
Master Daniel Pacina as a special guest
this
year.
Yeah.
So Mortal Kombat, Scorpion, Reptile, Sub-Zero.
So you guys Johnny have listened Cage. To this point when the Ohio 20 Comic Show comes up later this summer. Use the term Ken Diesel and they'll let you in for free.
That's you can try.
Say what?
You can try. We'll see what they do.
So
I can see we turn away a lot of people.
Anyways, you can come see us in Lexington. It'll be fun. Yeah.
Roma Collectibles.
Roma Collectibles booth. All right. On that note, thank you guys for listening to this supersized episode. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Poland.
Thank you, Poland.
It's long, but it's good.
All right.
That's a new hashtag.
It's long, but it's good.
No, thank you, Poland.
That's what she said. Thank you,
Poland.
Poland's
long
and good.
Hey, all right. Cool.
All right. Well, on that note, we'll talk to you guys next week. Later.
Bye.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. Those amazing banners that go with our show notes, those are designed by Johnny, and the show is mixed and engineered by me. Our intro music is Moose from bensounds.com. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and find out what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and what we're looking for is help to grow the show to keep bringing you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. So whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.